Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Today, Ed, we're going to talk about a lost cartoonist, Fletcher Hanks. But before we dive into this outsider lost cartoonist, let's talk about what we've been up to.
Our own outsider, yes. Outlaw comics, perhaps?
It does feel like we're moving more and more in that direction, but hopefully that's a sign of maturing cartoonists.
Patreon.com/Ed Piskor. I'm serializing my latest comic, Red Room, on there for the early adopter. $3 gets you the archive, and the pages are up there in a high enough resolution that you can print them out and look at them yourself, man. People have sent me bootlegs of their copies after they printed them out and read them. Solidifying the publishing schedule, it's going to be on paper in a suitable, proper, you know, edition in the future. So stay tuned for that. This is strictly for the early adopters. One other promotional thing before we get started on my end is we are going bourgeois these days, Jim. And these ivory back scratchers are not going to buy themselves. So Sotheby's Auction House, New York City, is running their first ever hip-hop auction. And I am participating in that along with many luminaries, many of my heroes, some rappers who have even bought a piece or two of original artwork from me in the past. I don't let the stuff leave my hands for willy-nilly prices, and when Sotheby's comes a-calling, I had to say yes. So there are 8 pieces available for auction right now. The bidding's going to go on until September 15th, but this is the buy me now option. All the stuff that's up for auction right now is in the Ed Piskor Studio Edition, along with, you know, 200 other pages, right, worth of material. And you get to see all the process materials. Some X-Men stuff's included in there also. So, till September 15th.
Very awesome. My latest comic, Octobriana 1976, a blacklight comic printed with fluorescent inks, is in stores now. Wherever comics are sold, you can find yourself a copy of this. And if you're a fan of printed matter, if you're a fan of unique comics, you're going to want this in your collection because no other comic has been printed like this.
Look at that, man. A blue eye and a yellow eye.
And if you like the how this stuff is made, I also made a process zine. 350 pages that includes all the drafts that went into this, the technical part, the production part. That's available as a PDF on my website at jimrugg.com. So Octobriana 1976. Pick it up now. There aren't that many of them. So if you want a copy, grab it before it goes out of print.
Yeah, that thing's going to be worth fucking $500 soon enough.
It's selling well. Fletcher Hanks, I Shall Destroy All the Civilized Planets, edited with an afterword by Paul Karasik, published by Fantagraphics Books in 2007. This was kind of a revelation. I remember whenever this came out, a lot of us, I feel like it blew our minds. So the story is Fletcher Hanks is a cartoonist in the golden age of comics. The material in here, 1939 to 1941 is when it was published. And it's weird superheroes. It's superheroes done by essentially one guy, you know, handling the writing and the art and everything. And what we would describe as a singular vision. Other superheroes, other cartoonists, comic books, they didn't look like Fletcher Hanks' work.
This was an era where every comic was an anthology comic. There'd be 4 or 5 stories in every comic, at the very least, right? And if you get your hands on a reprint of, you know, some Golden Age stuff, they're kind of fucking boring. And you can tell that the cartoonist would very much rather, they would rather be drawing a shoe ad for, you know, a Sears catalog than make comic books. But when you get to a Fletcher Hanks comic, it stands out immediately. I wonder if he did his own color separations because his colors would stand out different than the other colors in the rest of the book.
Couple
and
of
you just don't
characters.
Get this kind of
yes,
thing.
Yes, exactly. Fantoma, this is one of his two main characters, Stardust being probably the other one that he's known for, what this is named after, the Space Wizard. And Weird Vengeance driven character. So Stardust kind of hangs out in outer space until he sees some crime, and then he comes down with godlike, Old Testament godlike vengeance on whoever is wronging the world. You see these apocalyptic street scenes. One of the fun things with reading these stories is what he does to all of the bad guys. In this case, he whisks them into the air It's just odd. Like sometimes he turns them into mice and then cats eat them. You know, it's a very bizarre kind of vengeance, but you see this imagination, these flaming monster hands. As you said, this is not what other comics look like. And so the interesting part with this, I guess the first time most of us would have seen, well, the first time modern audiences would have seen Fletcher Hanks was in Raw.
Yes.
Which I think Paul Karasik may have introduced Spiegelman to this.
They found this stuff in tandem, like
Mark Newgarden may have been involved, you know, like there are these groups of people who are almost like historians.
Karasik told the story, man, and he said that like when they would be digging for comics, it might have even been Jerry Moriarty. It was one of those guys who digs for finds weird stuff, but they didn't know the guy's name. I don't think that Fletcher Hanks' name is in a lot of these strips. So they were like sort of on the hunt. If the Golden Age comic wasn't a Superman or a Flash or something, back in those early 80s, you could find them. You
right.
know, and Spiegelman and Karasik, who was one of Spiegelman's students at School of Visual Arts, they were on the hunt for this stuff. And when they would find a new Golden Age comic that would have, you know, Stardust, like, they all, you know, traded this thing back and forth. And it, like you said, you know, they reprinted this stuff in...
This is the story where he turns the gangsters into rats. And then from out of the Stardust Flash, a panther. So the panther's tracking down these gangsters turned rats in the streets. And a lot of these end with, that was Stardust, and we didn't have a chance to thank him. As he disappears back into his space hideout, waiting for the next time he's needed to save the day. And I love the idea that it's these guys digging and guys who have that eye, you know, that have that eye and they find this stuff.
This is the one that would have been in Raw. And this image was featured in the Comic Book Confidential documentary. And when I was a little kid, saw that documentary and saw this right here, I was like, fuck, I need to get that comic, man.
Yeah, This story is the bad guys use this ray to the anti-solar ray. The result is shutting off gravity and people are just floating off the Earth. What? Like, it's so weird. It's inventive comics, you know, and you know, we mentioned the whole outsider thing. You see the figures are strange. Stardust is kind of a giant. The proportions are bizarre with the big heads.
But it's still like of that time. You could see old paintings and movie posters and stuff that would have these slick back hair, like the facial features are perverted versions of artwork that you saw in that kind of Art Deco space.
Yeah, it's a fascinating collection. Like I said, when it came out, it seemed like universally all of my friends, like everybody loved it. You know, it really, the hook of it is that digging, somebody uncovered this guy who made fascinating, compelling comics that didn't look like anything else. And the idea that this was just collecting dust in back issues boxes and nobody really knew about it. You know, it's not Superman or Batman or something that's legacy has been preserved. It is just this unknown thing that somebody dug up. And whenever this book came out, you know, you can see it's a pretty hefty volume. I don't know, maybe 200 pages. It was presumed that this was it, that this was the, you know, the full-on Fletcher Hanks experience. Once this book came out, some more Fletcher Hanks came forward, so a second volume was published, and a collected volume of both of these is published. We actually asked the book designer, Jacob Covey, who put this together, which there's some nice hallmarks of this. You know, like having the giant blown-up panel for the end pages is kind of a nice touch. You really get to see this art. I think in the Raw reprints, they actually recolored it. They cut the color steps, I think, to make the reproductions work.
They definitely did, and we were looking at it, and the line quality was different, and we suspect that they re-inked it even.
Yeah, could be. I mean, you know, that's always a challenge of how do you reproduce this stuff. And now I think with digital scanning and printing, it's not as hard as it used to be. But that was the challenge early on. So, you know, you can see the weird choices. Like 1940, guy's head getting, you know, chopped off. Pre-comics code, and it shows.
These are special comics, and this...
The head just flying through space.
That's iconic.
He grabs the guy's head and just whips it out into space. Hurls him into the space pocket.
I've seen that tattooed on people's bodies, man.
Amazing. Very strange. Even that, like...
Oh, turn the page, please. Love it, man.
Yeah, very awesome. And then one of the nice pieces with this publication is Paul Karasik gets into who this guy is, at least as much as he could find. The very opening of this book, we see a picture of what looks like an old man. It's actually Fletcher Hanks Jr. It's his son. And so this is what Paul was able to uncover, and this is Paul's cartooning. So guy who's been around comics for a while, teamed up with Mazzucchelli for City of Glass adaptation, and this is his breakdown and telling the story, at least what he knows about Fletcher Hanks, which is a pretty fascinating story. The guy, not a good human being, you know, extremely abusive, alcoholic. As far as they know, he died homeless, you know, kind of abandoned his family or whatever, and died on like a park bench, froze to death, possibly in a state of alcoholism at the time. But again, as much as we know about Fletcher Hanks, it's all thanks to Karasik, to this book, and the following book really is the reason that we know who that is. And, you know, as a fan of weird comics, Fletcher Hanks, about as weird as you're going to get.
Yeah, these are special comics, and there's a deluge of... Now, here's, like, they're public domain comics. Like, nobody's claiming copyright on this stuff. There's a deluge of reprints of Golden Age comics, and most of them, you get the sense that they're being reprinted just because. They got the license, they have an opportunity, and they're printing these things. But this is a special collection, and the second collection is, which they're pretty sure that that's the complete, you know, body of work from Fletcher Hanks, man, maybe 350, 400 pages.
And I think the collected book is a hardcover edition too, so there's some nice volumes that you could track down of this stuff in, you know, a couple of different formats. You talk about it being special, and I think these pull quotes speak to that. So Gary Panter, R. Crumb, Kurt Vonnegut. I mean, that's a pretty good list of people endorsing these comics. And enough of these have come out that you can find them, maybe even in libraries. They're very nice editions, nice books, and noteworthy because it is a glimpse at that golden age that you don't often see.
Yes, I'm going to give one parental advisory. Read like one or two at a time, because if you read the whole book, your mind is going to be... You might not come back from that, man. It might be too hard a trip.
This also reminds me of, like, Charles Burns will, like, redraw romance comic panels and monster comic panels and stuff. This feels like that, where it's, like, they're so weird. It's almost, you can see how someone would be enthralled by this particular comic strip and the contents therein.
The things that I like about comics generally come from, like, singular creators, like, a single person doing everything. And you're seeing, like, a world through this cartoonist's vision, and to step into the Fletcher Hanks world for a little bit here and there, man, there's nothing else like it.
It's one of the fascinating parts. You know, you look at this stuff and it's disturbing. Many of these stories are. And then whenever you read his backstory in the back, it's like, oh yeah, this is like, the comics are madness, and that guy's life is that way. Very much... They fit together, at least the way Karasik frames this. If you told me this was all made up, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, it's because it's fascinating. Like, this is stuff that you don't see in, you know, even comics today, I think a lot of times, are going to fall short of a visual of that sort. And then to combine it with some mysterious dark cartoonist behind it all, it's almost too good to be true. All right, Ed, that's basically what I have to say about Fletcher Hanks. Again, 2007 is when this was published, and if you go back and look, if you look up reviews or something, you'll see a lot of coverage on this. Like, I think this really captured a lot of comics readers' imaginations and opened up some possibilities. You know, like, it gave us a chance to build some worlds in that golden age time period and to consider more than Will Eisner and Jack Kirby and the couple of names that are well chronicled. It was a big industry whenever comics first burst on the scene, and you had all kinds of people participating.
Should we go back to making some of our own weird comics?
Take some inspiration from this.
Okay, favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell. We'll notify you when the next videos are available. We're on that race to 30,000 subscribers, man, so make that stuff happen. Octobriana's in comic stores right now. Patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 gets you the archive to my strips every Tuesday. New ones go live. The Hip Hop Family Tree art auction at Sotheby's is going on right at this moment. The end date is September 15th of 2020. And you can start bidding on stuff right at this very moment, though.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we're doing. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe merchandise and t-shirts at the links below this video.
Like I said, man, let's go make some of our own weird comics, Jimmy, giving them the marching orders.
Read more comics.